Good evening, everybody. I guess they told me that the orange button on this microphone didn't matter if that was on, but I'm going to click it and make it go green. There we go. You probably didn't hear what I was saying. They told me the orange button could be on and you could still hear me, but I don't think that was the case. But it's great to be here with you again tonight. We've had an excellent day thinking about missions, and I wanted to, in the sermons that I brought, just to bring mission work a little bit closer to home and make us think about some of the things that we need to be involved in. This morning we talked about the great treasure that we have as Christians and how we just find ourselves in the position of people that need to share that treasure with others. We need to find that joy in our salvation. We need to be willing to share that with those who don't yet know Christ. And what I've been thinking about a little bit this semester, especially being the missionary in residence at Freed and teaching the personal evangelism class, something that I've noticed when I've taught this class before in other settings is that people know that we need to be evangelistic. They know that. That's not really the problem. The problem seems to be that it's a little bit uncomfortable to do so. It's a little bit difficult to try to share our faith with a friend or to talk about Jesus or spiritual things around a coworker. And, you know, sometimes people actually find it quite awkward to do that. And so I wanted to talk about tonight the question, does evangelism have to be awkward? You know, awkward situations are very funny whenever they don't involve us. Whenever they do involve us, then they're not very funny, and unless you have a good sense of humor and you can laugh about it later. But there's entire TV genres that are based on just the awkward situation. A TV show that ran for 8 seasons just based on awkward people within awkward situations. And we find that pretty funny as long as it doesn't involve us. Here's some situations that maybe have involved you. They've definitely involved me. Moment when you wave at someone, and they were actually waving at the person behind you. That happens sometimes, especially at Freed. There's a lot of people around, and everybody's friendly. Well, sometimes they're not waving at you, and you realize that pretty quickly. Or maybe this one that I did even this weekend. Enjoy your meal, sir. Thanks, you too. You know, quite often the server might say that, and they're not there to eat, but you might ask them to enjoy their meal as well. And these are just kind of funny things. These are just situations that we realize, you know, that was funny, that was strange for me to say that, but it's not really all that big of a deal. When it does become a big deal, though, is when we start thinking about teaching people the gospel, and when we say, I just can't do that because I feel uncomfortable. I can't do that because it makes me feel awkward, or maybe in a certain situation, it might be inappropriate. Maybe we've thought those things before. Of course, sharing the gospel or teaching about religion can be a very sensitive subject for some people, and so maybe that's what makes us feel a little bit strange in doing that. I wanted us to approach this from a different way, from a different angle. I wanted us to think tonight, in Jesus' ministry, in his work, was there ever a time where he might have felt a little bit awkward, or where some uncomfortable situations came up? Maybe we'll remember some of these things. How about the time you're at dinner with a Pharisee, and a prostitute comes in and is crying and pouring precious ointment all over your teacher's feet? That is incredibly awkward. That's so strange. How do we deal with the situation? How about the time Jesus is asked if they need to pay taxes to Caesar and there's both Jewish rebels and Roman guards listening? Oh man, how are you gonna deal with the situation? It's very strange and very difficult. What about watching your teacher go into the temple and knock over all the tables and kick the merchants out, and you can hear the coins scattering all over the floor and the animals going crazy and running around? How uncomfortable that would have been. And then not to mention the Samaritan woman incident, where your teacher is speaking to this lady of disrepute. Why is he talking to her? Well, this isn't right. This doesn't seem normal. I want us to think about, if we are thinking about Jesus, and if we're thinking about how we need to approach sensitive subjects when we talk to people that we know and love about religion, I think it's fair to say that if we want to be like Jesus, we're going to find ourselves sometimes in situations that seem a little bit uncomfortable, because certainly Jesus did as well. And I think the reason for that is these situations might seem awkward to us because we might be more concerned with what the world is going to think about us than with what God will think. Quite often, we think, maybe my friends at school are going to think this is weird. Maybe my coworkers are going to think I'm some kind of fanatic or some kind of religious nut. But you know, really, everybody has their own faith and their own thoughts on this, so why should I bring it up? Well, we're going to be more concerned sometimes with what people think instead of what God thinks. When we think about how Jesus handled some of these difficult situations, how some of these awkward situations that he happened to be in, he did so with wisdom, and he did so with grace, but without compromising the truth of God's word. And I think that's exactly what we need to be thinking about. So perhaps we should stop asking ourselves, what will people think of us if I was to say these things about Jesus? And ask ourselves the question, what will God think of me if I don't? I wanted us to think about a couple passages tonight. If you're familiar with Ezekiel 33, it's an incredibly powerful passage that God is speaking directly to Ezekiel in his ministry. And he gives Ezekiel this portrayal of what his job is as a prophet, to speak God's word to a people that most likely are not going to listen. And he talks to them about a watchman. And what a watchman would do in the ancient times was to stay awake up in the middle of the night, up on the wall, looking, overlooking the city and overlooking the surrounding areas and making sure that there's no danger that's going to be coming upon the city. And if there is danger that comes upon the city, it is the watchman's job to alert the city, maybe blowing some kind of horn or alerting the city in some other way, to wake everyone up. There's danger coming. We have to be very careful. You need to be awake and alert because there's danger. And so when we think about this idea of being a watchman, God spoke to Ezekiel and told him, what happens if the watchman falls asleep on the job? Well, the enemy will come, and there will be destruction and devastation, and people will die. But that's going to be the watchman's responsibility. What happens if the watchman stays awake and does his job and warns the people and alerts them to stay awake? What if people don't listen? Well, occasionally that might happen, but the watchman has done his duty. He's done everything that he can to alert the people of that. And so if we open up to Ezekiel chapter 33, we read in verse 7, God speaking to Ezekiel, "So you, son of man, I have made a watchman over the house of Israel. Wherever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give it to them. Give them the warning from me. If I say to the wicked, 'O wicked one, you shall surely die,' and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul." I know this is specifically referring to Ezekiel and to his ministry, what was going on there in that time period with the people within exile. And, we know that, we think about that, but also recognize the fact that Ezekiel had opportunity to share God's message with people. And he had a decision to make, whether he was going to do so or not. And we see that this is a very real situation for us as well. If we look down in verse 11, we learn about the nature of God. God says, "As I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn back from his evil way and live." And so he encourages Israel to turn back from their evil ways and to live. But you know what? Ezekiel actually has a responsibility in that process. How is it that people are going to hear God's message if God's people aren't willing to share it with them? We think about James 4:4-5, a passage that might be pretty familiar to us. We recognize that if we are being friends with the world, if we consider friendship with the world something a little bit more important to us, perhaps, than being willing to share the gospel and take an uncomfortable step outside of our comfort zones to reach the lost, then we're told that friendship with the world is enmity with God. I think we're kind of familiar with this passage. We know this passage. Whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And in thinking of this, perhaps, as we thought about our lesson this morning, if we view lost souls as people in danger, this perhaps might change our perspective on things. Perhaps we would reach out with more urgency. And so what I wanted to talk about today is not necessarily evangelism and going out and knocking on someone's door that you don't know, or doing something. Quite often we find those situations maybe even a little bit easier because we're talking to someone we might not run into, have contact with again. It's actually pretty easy if you go on a short-term mission trip to go and to share your faith and to be on fire for the Lord because you think, there's probably not a chance that I'll be coming back to this country or maybe to this area. This isn't where I'm from. And so I can share the gospel. I can, teach these people about Jesus. It becomes a little bit more difficult when we think about where we live day in and day out, where we go to school, where we go to the grocery store. We keep running into people, and perhaps we think, if I don't act this way all the time, then people will think maybe I'm some sort of hypocrite. And so I wanted us to think about some passages that would talk to us and speak to us about reaching out to those that are closest to us. Of course, those are the kind of people that we want to be saved more than anything because they're the people we know and the people that we love. And so I wanted us to think about these things today. I want us to have those difficult conversations with friends and family. Sometimes these things are going to be awkward. Sometimes these things are going to be uncomfortable. But it's something that we need to do. The passage that we read for the scripture reading was Jude 22 to 23. And we read, "Have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. Show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh." If we were really looking at people as souls, if we were really looking at Jesus coming back at any moment, and we don't actually know when that's going to take place, we're probably going to act a lot more urgently about those souls that we view as lost. As we look to the scripture and see what it is we need to do, we recognize that there's some people that haven't done those things. So we should hate even the garment stained by the flesh and snatch them out of the fire. Maybe that's how we need to view things if we're just not being urgent enough in our evangelism. If you open up to Ephesians chapter 4, 14 to 16, we read, "So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ." As we go about doing this and having these difficult conversations, maybe sharing with that family member, the way you're living your life is not the way that God wants you to live it. And it's not because God is some tyrant wanting to tell us what to do. It's because He wants to have a loving relationship with us as our Father, and that He actually knows what's best for our lives. And so when we stop and think about these things, we need to be speaking the truth, but we need to be doing it in a loving way. It's no good to speak the truth if we're not also willing to do it in love. And it's not really love if we're not able to speak the truth to the person that we're studying with. We can't ignore doctrinal error. I think this passage really speaks to that. There's sometimes incredibly uncomfortable situations where someone believes themselves to be in a relationship with God, but because they're following some type of error, we open up the scripture and we realize, you know, that person is not actually within this relationship that they might think themselves to be in, which makes it even more awkward, but also even more urgent to share with them the truth of the gospel as we interpret it, as we see what the scripture says. So I pray that we love those people enough to initiate that difficult and awkward conversation. This isn't all about just reaching out. It's also about looking inwards. If we're not willing to examine ourselves in our own hearts, there's really no point in reaching outside of ourselves. So we also need to have those awkward conversations sometimes with ourselves. I think there is a lot of value in taking time, as Jesus said, to go into your closet, go into a quiet space, and to have those prayers and those talks with God. If you're a student at Fried Hardeman, it might be a little bit difficult. You've always got a roommate around or something, but you know, find somewhere that you can go and it's quiet and you can take time to talk to the Lord. Having those difficult conversations with self. And once we do that, and once we're able to find ourselves in unity with God, finding that we're in accordance with what His Word teaches, I think it's going to be a lot easier for us to be able to share that faith with the people we come in contact with. Ephesians 5:15-17 says, "Look carefully then at how you use your time. Look carefully, at how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." There's a song that we sing that asks God to help us to redeem the time that maybe we wasted in the past. And the best way to do that is to stop wasting time and to realize the urgency of our salvation, to realize there are things that can be done and need to be done that will strengthen me and that I can do to be strengthening others in this use of time that I might actually be just blowing away in the pursuit of worthless things. I hope we think about that. Thank you. 2 Corinthians 13, 5-6 is another passage that we should think about. It says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test, and I hope that you find out that we have not failed the test." Test yourself. And we continually do that every time we open up God's Word. We become sharper. We are able to focus on what God has to say to us. And we become more like Him every time we do so. Let's test ourselves. Let's see, is there an opportunity for me to become a little bit more like Christ today? Are there things within my life that need to be pruned so that I can be more fruitful for the Lord? Have you entered into that relationship with God in the way that God wants? And do you know if you've done that? If you're not sure, open up God's Word. There's also people all around within this congregation that would be happy to study and to think about those questions with you. Our last slide, I wanted us to think about the urgency of this as well. We need to have these conversations soon. A few more points. You know, am I more concerned about being uncomfortable for myself or for God. If we're familiar with 2 Peter 3:9, Peter writes to us that God doesn't wish that anyone should perish, but that all would come to a knowledge of the truth and to repentance. God is uncomfortable when his people, the people that he's created in his image, are lost, and whenever we are close enough to do something about it and we decide not to because of our own comfort. I think that makes God more uncomfortable than perhaps it makes us, just to have that conversation that might be a little bit strange. Second point, will this be more awkward right now in the present day, or is this going to be more awkward on Judgment Day? When time has been completed, when we come before the judgment seat of God, think about 2 Corinthians 5:10, and I don't think it's any coincidence that this is right before Paul is urging those members of the Corinthian church to think about the fact that they're involved in the ministry of reconciliation. He reminds them that everyone must appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one might receive what he deserves for what he's done in the body. There's a song that really gets to me every time. It's a little bit older, so we don't sing it as much, but a song that says, "Why didn't you mention him to me?" I can't imagine having to have that conversation with someone on the judgment day, and I just don't want to. And I pray that you won't have to have that conversation. Are things going to be more awkward now just to initiate a conversation that might lead someone to Christ, might lead them to his body? Or is it going to be more awkward on the judgment day when there's no opportunity again to do that? So our last question is, who am I trying to please? Paul makes it incredibly clear in Galatians chapter 1 that he's not trying to please men, but he's trying to please God. Quite often that comes with uncomfortable situations when we come in contact with other people who don't have that priority. But unfortunately, we come in contact with them, and it's going to make us more like Christ, to please God and to recognize we're not just trying to please mankind. We've had an excellent day today. We've had an opportunity to look in God's Word about the treasure that we have, and also about the responsibility, now that we've found that treasure, to be willing to share it with others. We recognize that those who are separated from God will not enjoy eternal life with him. If they are separated with him now, they will continue to be separated with him. And that's true for us, and that's true for those in the world that don't yet know him. So I pray if there's any opportunity now for you to think whether or not you're separated from Christ, whether or not you've been involved in trying to bring other people back to Christ, that we would think about this now. If there's anything at all that you might need tonight from this congregation, please come forward now as we stand and sing the invitation song.